I just want to read a verse from my Bible tonight. It's in Matthew's Gospel, chapter 11, and it's verse number 28. It's the words of the Lord Jesus. Now, the whole of the Bible is the Word of God, and therefore it's vitally important. It's precious. But, you know, there's something distinctly precious about the words of the Lord Jesus. And that's what we're going to read tonight, some of the words of the Lord Jesus. It'd be wonderful if we could just picture in our mind, even as we read them, just try to picture the Lord Jesus speaking these words. They're words of invitation. They're words that go out to the multitude. Think of the heart of Christ with all his love and his compassion. So different from men and women today. Men and women today are just out for their own thing. Self-seeking is the norm today, isn't it? People just want to go on and do their own thing and live their own lives. But the Lord Jesus was selfless. A heart of compassion for men. And the Lord Jesus Christ, he says these words, "Come unto me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." I think these are beautiful words. Come to me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. These are words of invitation. They're words that are sweet. They're words that are precious. They're words that are appealing. They're words that are attractive. Come to me. It's interesting to read in our Bible that the same one that states, that makes this statement, is the one who in a day to come is going to make the opposite statement. It's coming a day when the Lord Jesus will no longer say, "Come to me," but he's going to say, "Depart from me." Oh, it's not that his heart of love has become cold and hard. It's not that no longer does he become compassionate towards men. But it's just this, that men have gone over the boundary line. They have presumed on God's grace and mercy for too long. And they've died in their sins. And the same precious one who invites men to come to him that he might be their saviour is the one who, as their judge, must utter these awful words. "Depart from me. I never knew you." And everyone in our little meeting tonight is going to have to respond to one or other of these statements of the Lord Jesus. It's inescapable. Every one of us will either respond to his invitation and we'll come to him and find him, our Saviour, our Lord, our Master, our friend, the one that satisfies the deepest needs of our heart. But if we fail to come to him, then there's coming a day when we'll respond to his statement, "Depart from me. I never knew you." It would be tragic to me if there were some sitting in this hall listening to the appeal of Christ and they failed to refuse that appeal. They failed to respond to that appeal. And they hear these awful words and a day to come, "Depart from me." And to drop out of his presence and to plunge into the depths of the lake of fire forever. The choice is yours tonight. Either to respond to his loving appeal and come to him and trust him, or to just continue on in your sins and ultimately to hear his words, "Depart from me. Depart from me. Depart from me." Tonight the Lord Jesus has come. So simple, isn't it? I would almost tremble that I might complicate it tonight with my excess of words. Unless he stands and he says, "Come to me." What would be wonderful just to get a little glimpse of the Saviour tonight. The one that is loving and compassionate, kind and understanding and knowing. The one that's hands are absolutely holy. And yet he says to sinners, "Come to me." And that's what we are tonight, isn't it? I don't really need to come to Newcomer to tell people they're sinners. If we're honest with ourselves, if we're prepared to face up to the stark reality of our own lives, we know that we're sinners. The Bible tells us that all have sinned, come short of God's glory. We're sinners. Sin defiles us. Sin ruins us. Sin warps the way we think, the way we speak. Sin brings in so much brokenness into our lives and our families and our communities. Here's the Lord Jesus, the Holy One. The one that never sinned. And yet he gazes into the eyes of sinners. And he says, come to me. Come to me. He wants to cleanse you from your sin. He wants to forgive your sin. He wants to make you righteous in the sight of God. And he appeals to you. As he stretches out his holy hands, he appeals to you to come. The hands of the Lord Jesus are not only holy hands, they're almighty hands. The hands of Christ could do what no one else could do. On the occasion, the Lord Jesus Christ, He touched the eyes of a blind man and the man was able to see. He could touch the tongue of one that was dumb and he could speak, the deaf and he could hear. He could touch the coffin of a man that was dead and he suddenly was given life. What hands? And that's the hands that are stretched out to me. Not only the holy hands of Christ, but the powerful, almighty hands of Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is able to touch your life. He's able to take away the spiritual blindness, the spiritual deafness. He's able to bring a spiritual cleansing, a spiritual healing in your life. He's able to make you anew. He's able to take that sin-battered life of yours. And he's able to bring regeneration. He's able to bring about the miracle of the new birth. And he's able to impart to you a life that is full and satisfying. It's only Christ that can do it. He stretches out those hands tonight. And he says, come to me. The hands of Christ are not only holy and they're not only powerful, but they're loving. They're loving. The tenderness of Christ. Hating sin, yet loving sinners. For the Lord Jesus Christ will never make an excuse for your sin. He'll never overlook your sin. He hates it. With a holy hatred. I know that men would hate sin today. Oh, that as Christians we would hate it. We've become so used to sin, haven't we? Even as believers in the Lord Jesus, even as those that are going to heaven, we'll become so insensitive to sin in our lives. Oh, that God would produce in our hearts a holy hatred of all that's evil. And that we would walk in holiness before our God. You know, we can hardly expect men and women who are unsaved to be convicted of their sin if we're quite content to go along with us. Oh, that God by the Spirit would produce a holy hatred of sin. I know that men would tremble at the thought of sin. Because God hates it. And the Bible tells us that God must judge it. And God tells us that God won't allow any sin in heaven. That's how serious sin is. God hates it. But God loves us. The Lord Jesus loves you. That was the wee chorus that we were brought up in our Sunday school days, whether it was in the gospel hall or the church or wherever it was. It was that little chorus that rung down through every denomination. Jesus loves me. This I know. It's precious, isn't it? It's true. We're living in a world where there's little children growing up in families and they don't know what love is. They don't know what love is. Children at our gospel meeting just an hour ago, and I tell you, some of them will hardly know what it is to have a mother's cuddle. They'll hardly know what it is to get a kiss in the cheek. They'll hardly know what it is to sit down to a square meal on the table.
growing up in a home where there's no love. Isn't it wonderful that Jesus listens? Oh, he hates his sin, but he loves us. And it's one that loves us, doesn't he? That stretches out these loving hands and he says, come to me. How can men refuse to come to Christ? Well, the devil's done his work so well, hasn't he? Blinded the minds of those that don't believe, lest the light of the glorious gospel should shine in. Oh, that the Holy Spirit would take away the veil from men's minds, that they would see the loveliness and the attractiveness and the beauty of the Lord Jesus. Living in days when men flock around all sorts of other men. Think of all the media attention and people like Beckham and all these sort of things. And people are consumed with them, the idols of the day. And it's all false. And we've just learned in recent days that he's just a sinner like the rest of us. And yet people fall down and worship him. He is one that is without sin. The blessed Lord Jesus Christ without sin. And he looks into the face of poor, defiled sinners and he says, come to me, all those that are weary and heavy laden, I'll give you rest. What an invitation, what an appeal. Oh, that we'd see the attractiveness of Christ. And oh, that we would fall at his feet. And oh, that the Christians would worship him and praise him. And oh, that sinners would repent of their sins in his presence and accept him as Saviour and Lord. The invitation. The invitation comes from the lips of Christ and the invitation goes out to everyone. Everyone that is weary. Everyone that is labouring and heavy laden. There's a lot of souls like that in the world tonight, isn't it? A lot of folks like that in Newcomer. They're weary, weary. They're heavy laden. Life's hard, isn't it? I suppose life has always been hard, but I don't know, it just seems to be getting harder for a lot of people. There's just so much to concern us, so much to cause us grief and agony of soul. There's so much pressure upon people. Maybe you're here tonight and you're burdened. The Lord Jesus has come to me, I'll give you rest. Maybe someone here tonight and you're burdened not only with the pressures of life, but you're burdened with your sin. You know, there's a sense in which it's good to be burdened about your sin, because there's a lot of people that are not even concerned about their sin. And if you're burdened about your sin time, if you're heavy laden, you know, that was the experience of Pilgrim and John Bunyan's book, The Pilgrim's Progress. It was a burden of sin that was in his back and it was getting bigger every day. You ever felt like that? You were conscious that your sin was just like a heavy burden. The psalmist says, my sin is ever before me. I can't escape it. I can't run away from it. It's a burden upon me. My sin. The Lord Jesus Christ says to those that are burdened tonight, those that are weighed down with the weight of guilt and sin and shame, says, come to me. Come to me and I will give you rest. I wonder, will you come tonight? No, a case of coming to the preacher. The preacher can't really help you. But my friend Christ can not only help you, he can save you. And all he's asking you to do is come. You say, how can I come? Just come as you are. Just come in all your need. Just come confessing that you're a sinner and you need him. Because I tell you, every sinner needs him. But sadly, no, every sinner wants him. Every sinner needs Christ. But no, every sinner wants Christ. You know, it's sad that there are many folks in Newcomer tonight and they're quite happy to go on in their sin. It's become so much part and parcel of their life, they enjoy it. And although they need Christ, they don't want him. Because you see, we can't have Christ in our sin.
And that's what the word repentance, that's what the truth of repentance is all about. It's really turning our back, it's forsaking our sin. Turning to the Lord Jesus for cleansing and forgiveness and being done with our sin.
My Bible teaches me that as a Christian, I'm not expected to sin anymore. Sin should be an abnormal thing in the life of any believer.
If any man sin, a believer's not expected to sin.
And you know, when a person comes to the Lord Jesus, then they must have a desire in their heart to be done with their sin forever, to be finished with it. Why would anyone want to continue in sin when we think of the price that Christ paid to put it away?
He came to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself.
That's why it's the Lord Jesus that is the only Saviour.
Who else could cleanse sin but him? Who else could deal with the problem of sin in your life but the Lord Jesus, the one that came to put it away by his sacrifice on Calvary?
And the Lord Jesus wants you to come to him tonight, just as you are.
Just to turn away, to repent of your sin, to forsake it, and just to come to him in faith.
Just believing that he'll save you from your sin, he'll cleanse you. You see, some people think they've got to make themselves good enough for God.
And they try to put on different cloaks of religion and self-righteousness and good works and all the rest of it.
My friend, God's no interested in any veneer that you put over your life. God's interested in you just coming as you are. The artist was walking down the Thames Embankment one night and he saw an old tramp lying in his rags in one of the benches, and he woke him up and he gave him his business card. He says, "Come to my studio tomorrow morning, I would love to paint your picture." The guy came the next morning and he knocked on the artist's door, and the artist opened the door and he looked and he asked the man standing there what his business was. He says, but I have an appointment, you want to paint my picture?" And the artist looked at him and suddenly realised it was the man that had been lying in the embankment. He says, "Oh," he says, "sir," he says, "you're no use to me now." He says, "I wanted you to come just as you were." You see, he'd got himself spruced up. He'd washed his face, he'd combed his hair, he'd got a better set of clothes, and there he came all spruced up for the artist. He says, "You're no use to me. I wanted you just to come as you are." That's how the Lord wants us to come. No interested in any outward veneer, any outward clothing that we put on. He knows our hearts. And he just wants us to come as we are. Will you come to him tonight? Just as you are. Don't try to pretend. Don't try to hide.
Don't try to play act with him, because he knows you through and through. He knows you better than you know yourself. And he says, just come as you are. Weary and heavy laden, just come.
Just come in faith, just believing. Just believing that he is the Son of God. That's who Christ is.
That's why his life was absolutely sinless. Who else but the Son of God could live a sinless life? The one who was the Son of God was the one who laid down his life on account of sin at Calvary. What a sacrifice he made.
He wants you to believe.
He wants you to take that step of faith and come to him and trust him to be your Saviour and your Lord and to deal with the problem of sin in your life, and he'll do it.
And the only thing that stands between you and the salvation that the Lord Jesus offers is that step of faith.
That's all that stands between you and salvation, a step of faith.
The Lord Jesus looks into your eyes and he says, "Come to me, all ye who labour and heavy laden, come to me and I will give you rest." When should you come? Well, you should just come now. The Bible says, come, for all things are now ready. Come now.
You see, all's been prepared. The salvation has been provided. It's available for all who will come.
Come now. Why would you tie?
Why would you wait? If you're conscious tonight, you're a sinner. If you realize that you're lost in your sin and you're heading for an eternal judgment, why would you linger in your sins another moment? Why? Now is the accepted time. Now. Now is God's day of salvation. Not next week. Not even tomorrow night. But now. Come now. To linger a moment longer might be the biggest mistake of your life. To linger a moment longer might be to seal your doom in eternal judgment. Come now. Boast not yourself of tomorrow. Because we just don't know what another day brings forth. We were thinking in our prayer tonight about that day when the Christians are going to see the Saviour. Might be tonight. Might be tonight. Because he left a promise before he went to the cross. He says, if I go away, I'm going to come again. And he's coming. And he's coming soon. And he could come tonight. And everyone that has come to him, he's going to come for, to take them to be with himself forevermore. What a prospect. Is that your prospect? Is that the assurance that's in your heart tonight? Do you have that longing? Can you say like John at the end of our Bible, the book of Revelation, even so, come Lord Jesus, come. You ready for it? Don't stay in your sins a moment longer. Respond to the invitation of the Lord Jesus. And tonight, come. Listen to his promise. In another verse in the Bible, he says, him that comes to me, I will never cast out. I'll never turn you away. I'll never reject you. Ever been rejected? Probably one of the deepest pains that a man ever suffers. The pain of being rejected. The pain of being shut out. Ever knocked on a door and the door was kept closed in your face and you knew there was someone inside that wouldn't respond. And you felt lonely and miserable and desolate. Left out, rejected. The Lord Jesus says, him that comes to me, I'll never cast him out. Never, never, never. Doesn't matter who you ask tonight. Doesn't matter the deepest sins that you've committed. Doesn't matter how long you've continued in your sin. The Lord Jesus is the individual that comes to me. Doesn't matter who he is, if he comes, I'll never cast him out. I'll never turn him away. I'll never reject him. Men might reject Christ, but Christ doesn't reject those that come. He won't reject you tonight. He'll embrace you. He'll claim you as his own. He'll cleanse you from all your sin. He'll put you in a right relationship with God. He'll bring you into God's family. And he'll place within your heart the assurance that you're bound for heaven. He'll seal you with the Holy Spirit. And that same gracious Holy Spirit will give you a new life and a new power. A power over sin. A power to live life that's pleasing and honourable. Jesus says to you tonight, come to me, all ye that labour and are heavy laden, I will give you rest.
beautiful word, that, isn't it? In this world of turmoil, anxiety, guilt, shame, cares, rest, rest. That's what the Lord Jesus offers tonight, rest. Just resting in Christ. And you can know that rest tonight. Rest of conscience by trusting in the Saviour. Come to me, I will give you.
Dear Father, we just give thanks again for the opportunity to preach the gospel. What a privilege, what an honour, just to stand as the ambassador of God, to stand as the very mouthpiece of the eternal, and bring, our God, to the hearts of men the message that is in thy heart, the great message of salvation through faith in Jesus' name. We thank thee for the invitation that has been extended. Thou knowest every heart. May the Spirit search hearts tonight. And we pray, O God, that those yet without Christ, yet those still in their sins, we pray that tonight that they would repent and be drawn to the Lord Jesus, to trust in him and to experience new life and salvation in him. We ask these things as we ask for a parting blessing in the precious name of our Lord Jesus. Amen. Now we're just going to sing a couple of verses of a hymn just to bring the meeting to a close. 292. Which really would be the response to the invitation. The Lord Jesus Christ says, come to me. And verse 1 of 292 says, just as I am, without one plea, but that thy blood was shed for me, and that thou bidst me come to thee, O Lamb of God, I come, I come. So we'll just remain seated and we'll sing verses 1 and verse 3, 1 and 3 of hymn number 292. And after that, the meeting is finished. We thank you again for coming. And just remind you of the meetings as they continue in the will of God, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday and Thursday, each night this week at 8 o'clock. Thank you.